Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
Here we go again.
Oh, wait, this is my part?
We would like to just take this moment right now in order to acknowledge the passing of Kinsey, who sadly is no longer with us. He is... God, I just... I can't even say, man. It's just... It's
get on with it.
It's gonna be so bad without him.
So rather than pouring a 40 out for him, we'll just pour some Vegemite on the floor.
That's just rude.
Vegemite has the consistency of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you'd shake some Vegemite out onto the floor.
Also, for those at home, this is the new record for getting off topic.
No, we got off topic from the get-go last time, but anyway.
What topic?
Yeah, with us this time, Kinsey has actually broken his record. He is not with us this time.
Where the fuck?
Hey, taxi! Taxi! Ah, shit!
Instead, this time, returning from last time, is Combine Keegan.
Hello.
Making a grand return all the way back from the original OG eras, Sergeant Shivers.
Yay, cool, neat.
And a fellow modder and one of the developers of 8-Bit Deathmatch is Smash Bro.
Hey!
Mm-hmm.
He's actually here this week.
Yeah. Last week he was playing League of Legends.
Oh, wow, okay. My opinion of you has just changed considerably.
You had to bring that up, didn't you, Taro?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I'm not going to let you forget.
One time a month, I'm just like, yeah, sure, let me just join some of my pals for that.
Your reputation is forever tainted.
Yeah, forever. Alright, we've got... it's actually been a quiet series of events recently in the Doom community, but as always, things are trucking, things are coming along, and, well, we've got our events. So, we've got, right away, Quasar of Eternity Engine has released Calico, a backport of Jaguar Doom to the PC, of all things.
That the one port nobody was asking for.
Well, I mean, hey, it is the first console port to use those weird edited maps, so it's got that going for it.
Yeah, it seems really strange considering all of the other options, like Doom 64 EX. Yeah, I can understand someone porting that, even though it took forever to do, because it's an entirely new campaign.
It's spooky as fuck.
Just... incredible. I mean, yeah, it's nice that we have more Doom. Nice that we have more source ports.
Cool. I'm not gonna look a gift horse in the mouth. It works. It's a released thing. Neat. We're proud to them.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. Neat. Glad they got it. Jumping on to the next thing. We have, in history, the very first pacifist run of E2M8. E2M8 is also known as the Tower of Babel. It is the iconic map where you first fight the Cyber Demon and a whole variety of lost souls. And for a long time, it was thought completely impossible to pacifist run because, Cyber Demon kind of wrecks shit. But as of now, nope, it's possible. Four Shock Blast has successfully completed a pacifist run of E2M8 in a 12-minute speed run.
That's fast. That's faster than Tyson run. Well, actually, no, everything's faster than Tyson run of E4M1.
To defeat the Cyber Demon, don't shoot it until it dies.
To defeat the Cyber Demon, let a single lost soul headbutt it in its firmly toned ass about 800 times.
Yeah, and that's actually exactly how it works. The way he does the speedrun is he lures the Cyber Demon into one of the small corridors surrounding the spawn point, and then he just kind of pushes against them until he gets stuck in the doorway. Then he lures over a lost soul and has it nibble on the Cyber Demon's ass again and again. For 12 minutes.
That's how it explodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Now, the Super Mario 64 community, I mean, Super Mario 64, an iconic game, one of the greatest of all time, it is very close to what they call solving Mario 64, as in being able to play through the game in as little A presses as possible, preferably zero.
Man, there's more than that. There's coinless runs, canonless runs, capless runs, all three of those at the same time. Yeah, they go nuts, those guys. It's great.
So the question is, if we can do a pacifist run of every level, will we have solved Doom?
Well, I mean, you can't do a pacifist run of some levels.
Well, that's what you think.
That's what we thought of E2MA until literally just a couple days ago.
You can't do that. Here, hold my beer.
That's where you're wrong, kiddo.
Hold my health bonus.
Ken,
hi.
Smash, here. Is it possible to beat the single-player campaign of 8-Bit Deathmatch on a pacifist run?
No.
That's where you're wrong, kiddo.
I mean, technically, if you got every other bot or player to kill themselves at least once, and then trap them all, you would win the match, wouldn't you?
No, like, it's not timed, it's based on score, so in the deathmatch levels, you would actually need to hit up to the frag limit in order to progress, and even if you ignore the deathmatch levels entirely, the boss battles, it's not like Doom where you can, you know, rely on things like monster intelligence, like infighting and everything, like get the bosses to kill each other or whatever. For the vast majority of boss fights, there's only ever one boss present at a time. And especially now, a lot of the earlier bosses, such as like the Doc Robot fight, Darkman, they were bots that were given like special weapons that would just regulate, you know, when they would aim and shoot and everything. But the later bosses in the campaign, and actually some of the earlier ones for V5B, a lot of the bosses are going to be redone and everything. But later bosses like the Genesis unit, especially like Hyperstorm H with his double health bars, it's really cool. They're actors. They're entirely actor-based, and they have like these different triggers and everything for like, you know, regulating their health and you know, spawning shots and when they attack and everything. There's actually one boss that's three different actors, and about halfway through the fight, they combine. They turn into one, and it's, you know, just the three characters like in a formation attack. But something like that, you wouldn't really be able to do a pacifist run, even if you used like some of the more, I guess, gimmicky weapons and items like actually, no, not even Leaf Shield. Old Leaf Shield used to constantly repel attacks that weren't busters or fire weapons, so you could like theoretically bounce an attack back into a bot or an enemy. But Leaf Shield was changed a couple versions back, where now it's like a counterattack. You put Leaf Shield up, and if you are shot while it's up, then it shoots a ton of leaves out in the direction, you know, where you got hit and everything, so it like counters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one thing that did come to mind, Zandronum, which Mega Man 8-Bit Deathmatch is based upon a much, much earlier version of GZ Doom. And in the case of this discussion, what's important is that it's based on a version that was before the implementation of float variables for every piece of data calculated therein, which means even non-timed time matches have a time limit. Specifically, they cannot go beyond a limit of 2 years. Otherwise, the match instantly ends right there.
This is going to be like that one, like, we hit this coin block in Paper Mario for 5 years and crash the game.
Well, except instead of crashing the game, the match ends right there. So, yes, theoretically, someone could simply have the mutts kill themselves and then wait out the match. Every single match.
Here's my half-century long run of Mega Man 8-Bit Deathmatch. Uploaded to, I don't know, long play.
Uploaded to Ustream. Allowing people to comment in real time as I do it.
Imagine you dedicate your life to this run, and like the second to last map, you choke, and like Gutsman wins.
Oh, of course, it'd be Gutsman too.
Because Gutsman is an ass.
I don't like what I see.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
For those who are listening at home, we do not encourage actually attempting this.
Yeah, don't.
I do.
That.
I want to see it.
don't encourage them. They're just going to hurt themselves.
What I think is funny, though, is like starting with V5, there was a bit of it around the launch. There might be some when 5B comes out and retools the bosses and everything. There actually were a couple users in particular that were trying to speedrun 8-bit deathmatch, which I personally think is silly because a good 85% of the single player is just bot matches and deathmatch. Why would you subject yourself to that? But eh. Orange Juice, he goes by Communist Mage on Twitch, I believe.
Oh, so I play Starbreaker.
There's a reference I was gonna get.
But yeah, there's a Big Dark on I think Kingdom entertained the idea a couple times. He's a Chromatism on Twitch. But they tried speedrunning, and in particular were like narrowing down the essential elements of an 8-bit deathmatch speedrun. Like, what is the category for that? Do you just do the boss rush? Do you do the entire storyline? Do you do it with a fresh save so you get all the cutscenes? Can you just play all the levels and, you know, say you did it? There was a lot of like discussion about that, which was actually fairly interesting for a good 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Orange Juice actually, the absolute madman, he tried a full speedrun from chapter 1 to the very end, from the first stage Cutman all the way through all the games in order to the final Mech Shark fight. And I want to say it took him like somewhere around like 3.5 hours or something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've seen longer running speed runs than that, so good on him.
I think my favorite is Worcester's Pokemon Stadium 100% run. That's like 26 hours. Yeah. It's up in like 7 parts on YouTube.
Yeah. Good stuff, good stuff. Alright, next up, we have a very, very interesting bit of promotional material done by a YouTuber, Marvela!
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 We made that joke in the last podcast.
Done by a YouTuber, Marveler. 150 Doom mods in 20 minutes. The sequel to his previous 101 Doom mods in 15 minutes, which was in dire need of an update, let's be honest. But, I mean, it's pretty much exactly what it says on its tin. It's 150 Doom mods in a single video that's 20 minutes. And it presents it so that it lists the name of the mod, a couple short seconds of gameplay, and then moves on to the next one. And
it's essentially 120 vines of Doom mods.
But, I mean, it's pretty nice. I mean, there's lots of good mods released, and several on the list I didn't recognize at all.
And, shocking me beyond belief, he actually says who made each mod and gives a link to download them.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. I've never seen that before.
That would have been, that's really, really good of him, because it's good to have this sort of big ol' list of stuff for people new to the community or not familiar with Doom to get into. They can just get this big old dump of stuff to try.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, even like some like the, this is very clearly not Doom. Like you have like Super Mario Doom and like Sonic Robo Blast 2. Oh.
And that part where it suddenly cuts to total chaos and looks like it's an Oblivion mod or something.
Even 8-bit Deathmatch is in here.
even my mod's in there, and it's credited entirely to me and no one else, because I made Final Doomer.
It's true.
Without any help whatsoever, I'm the greatest.
It's true, you did.
Good. You're the one. Good job, Shivers.
Good job, Shivers. You should be proud of yourself.
And also, there's an Edge mod in there, which is really cool. I'm glad that it was more than one source port that got in.
Mm-hmm. Even though people only play one source port nowadays, but, I mean, it's still nice to have these
Otomex?
Options.
Otomex?
Chocolate Doom? PR Boom Plus?
PR Boom Plus has got, like, a really dedicated player base, and for good reason. One thing that I did find interesting is that it's mostly gameplay mods on there. There's not a whole lot of map sets. And I suppose, in a way, that's a good thing, because map sets are covered in all sorts of other places, and gameplay mods, well, I mean, places usually just focus on Brutal Doom, and that's it. Now that I think about it, there's not really any sort of central hub for gameplay mods, is there? I mean, you've got id games for maps.
Zdoom forums, kinda, but, I mean, mods disappear all the time because of download links and,
Yeah.
It's a bit of a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
We had Best Ever for a while, but didn't Best Ever explode?
Yeah.
I miss Best Ever. I'm still sad.
We had DRD Team for a while, and that exploded.
I miss DRD Team. I miss it a lot.
Thanks, Best Bot.
Thanks, Best Bot.
Thanks, Best Bot. Right, and then next up after that, Project Warlock, a recently announced new retro-inspired FPS that claims to be inspired by Hexen, Quake, and Blood. You've all seen the trailer.
I think it's alright. I don't think it's terrible. I think it's okay.
Alright. We've seen only the teaser trailer, which is roughly 20 seconds, about 10 of which is actual gameplay. And we are kind of split right down the middle.
It looks nice. Honestly, I generally think that the art style looks fine. The only thing that chaps my ass about it is the description of it says 8-bit graphics. It's like, that's not necessarily 8-bit. That's more like Amiga. Like, what the fuck y'all doing?
Oh, no, no. Optional 8-bit graphics.
Yeah, which, that also raises so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it claims that it's inspired by, like, Quake and Hexen, but the levels are really Wolfenstein-ish.
Yeah, like, all of the structure and everything, it's like
low ceilings,
like
very
square rectangular rooms, lots of focus on like rooms and hallways and corridors, and like, you know, you think of like Doom and everything, like it did have like outside areas and everything.
It had stairs,
level, like
it had some verticality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and like especially with like Hexen, the two big things for Hexen was like, ooh, look at this, you know, sprawling world with a hub map and like inner.
Holy shit! I have a jump button.
Yeah. And like,
I can look up and down.
I mean, that said, it does have nonlinear level progression and hub maps, and I mean stuff like that. Which I mean, that's pretty Hexen-y, and it's also got the sort of semi-gothic visual style, which is pretty Blood. So, I mean, it's not completely wrong. It's alright. And also, it has handcrafted levels, which makes me super happy, because that's good. No one does that these days.
Everybody wants to jump on that whole, you know, procedurally generated roguelike train.
Oh, God, I'm sick of procedurally generated levels for retro FPSs, well, quote-unquote retro FPSs. I am so sick of that.
What was the first FPS to have randomized levels? What year did that come out?
2013. We know it as Tower of Guns.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know. I'm making that shit up.
I mean, I guess Wolfenstein and Rise of the Triad had level generators, but it wasn't built in.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The thing is, it's really, really simple overall. If you're a fan of Doom and you're familiar with Doom, you know of Oblige. And Oblige has been worked on for so long. It's gotten so many rehauls and overhauls, and it's probably the best it's ever been lately. And even it will never stand up to a dedicated, handcrafted level by someone that actually wants to set things up.
At best, it can be described as decent, I'd say. I mean, don't get me wrong, Obliged is super cool, but yeah, if you wanted to, I'd rather have just E1, Episode 1, of the original Doom, than every Obliged map in the world, if I was given the choice.
And I really, really doubt that any indie game could ever match up to even just basic Oblige.
In terms of randomly generated maps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, stat-based character progression system. And at this point, I'm really starting to wonder, what exactly is this is retro, aside from the graphic style?
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe like the, and I still think it is highly, highly antiquated, and you need a really good reason to put this in a modern game in 2017, a live system. Really? I don't know, like...
Especially for an FPS. Weird. What FPS uses lives?
Serious Sam?
Serious Sam isn't retro.
I mean...
It claims
yeah.
It doesn't claim to be. People claim it's retro, but it's not retro. People keep on saying it's a throwback to the sort of Doom, Heretic, Hexen, but it's not. When you look at Doom level design, it was never about charging a whole swarm of enemies. It was about navigating environments, managing keys, managing ammos, taking on enemies small bunches at a time. It wasn't about S plus M1.
Geez, it's almost like it took influence from older games, but eventually evolved and became its own thing. What's up with that?
Yeah. I mean, I love Serious Sam. I love Painkiller. They're great games, but they're not retro games. In gameplay or in... Well, I mean, I guess in era they are, because they're almost 20 years old, but... Still, I mean, all this ranting over just 20 seconds of gameplay footage.
Clearly, from this 20 seconds, we have become experts on everything this game stands for and everything you will experience.
Yeah, don't take this as like complete doom and gloom.
I mean, this looks neat. Yeah,
it looks very neat.
It looks cool. They just shouldn't call it 8-bit. Like, 8-bit.
This is good enough to stand on its own. Yeah. You don't need that kind of buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, even Shovel Knight, like one of the greatest 8-bit retro-style games, it had to cheat quite a bit.
Yeah, they didn't... I think halfway through the Kickstarter, they just up and said, we're not 8-bit, we're pixel art, but we're not 8-bit. And they actually, I thought was cool, they went through and, like, explained, like, the color palette limitations and everything, and, like, how sprites are handled. Which is something that I'm really interested in, especially with, like with 8-bit Deathmatch, what was cool when they
How 8-bit is 8-bit Deathmatch?
It's accurate to a point. One thing that was determined very early on, despite this... I will not name usernames, but there is one person in particular who keeps pining for the most idiotic things, like if you shoot so many projectiles, he wants your projectiles to have sprite flicker, or like if you shoot a weapon and switch to something else, the color of the projectile should change to match you. But like, no, we're not that nitpicky. That's dumb, that's stupid. But as far as the stages themselves, they try to be as accurate as they can. Mega Man 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, of course, we use the tiles straight from the games. So, you know, that's accurate and everything. 7, 8, and base. Those are interesting cases. They're actually, there was this Japanese team that made a couple fan games for PC, you know, Rockman 7 FC Famicom and Rockman 8 FC, where they take the 7 and 8 Super Nintendo and PlayStation respectively, and kind of make them graphically wise and everything back into the classic style, you know, the NES 8-bit side-scrolling. And that's fine and dandy and all, But I remember specifically during 8's development, they kind of looked at the tiles and, you know, played around with them, took a good look, and threw out about 80% of them. Because especially the example I keep going back to is 8FC team's tiles for Frostman in one particular section very early on. There is like this ice floor generator thing, and you have like blue and purple tones for the ice, and there's like green for like the background, and the machine itself has like yellow and stuff, and that is entirely too many colors on screen at any given point. You only have a couple palette slots for tiles on screen. And if you have stages like Mega Man 6's Nightman is a great example, because you have the green bricks in the background, you have purple bricks, you go outside for a little bit, there's like a sunset. But how that handles it, the transition from the beginning, which is more like green, into you go further and there's the purple tiles. There is a section in the middle with a completely black background that has a spiked ceiling that raises and lowers over and over. And, you know, the player's not going to notice. They're just going to worry about, like, you know, ducking into holes in the ground and not get bopped by the spikes and everything. But this area is a nice transition because all of the tiles are gone. It's just this moving spike element now. So the game can clear out the palettes used for the purple area and load in the colors for the green area coming next. So they're not cheating. They're just changing the colors out. And that's what, like, 8-Bit Deathmatch does a lot for when they did Mega Man 7, Mega Man 8, Mega Man, and Base, making the tiles and everything. They actually made, like, fake screenshots or screen grabs to make sure that, you know, in a particular section of each stage, would the tiles play nicely with each other? Would they follow, you know, the NES limitations for tiles and everything? And even with the weapon projectiles, like Scorch Wheel in particular, I remember Scorch Wheel and Wild Coil, those were the problem children. We changed the color palettes for that like 3 times. Wild Coil originally was like this
Wild like Coil really... as a whole is a problem weapon. Has anyone ever wanted Wild Coil? Ever?
Actually, Wild Coil was busted on release. It had to get nerfed hard.
Really?
Wild Coil, because in the game, you would shoot Wild Coil, you know, directly to the sides of Mega Man. And if you charged it, sure, it would get stronger, but it would also bounce really high and make it impossible to hit pretty much anything with. So in 8-Bit Deathmatch, it's just like its original OG incarnation, V2, 8-Bit Deathmatch, when Mega Man 7, hot off the shelf. Wild Coil is like a shotgun. Mega Man would throw the two springs in front of him in like a slight V pattern, and basically it led to the point where if you charged the weapon fully in somebody's face, you could buckshot him, quickly tap M1 for a second Wild Coil, and just pop. Just hit them with the knuckle duster, and they just die.
Double tap them.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
clearly the way to fix this is have them fire out of his sides.
That was actually the next step. It wasn't completely to your sides, but it was at such a wide V angle that you practically had to turn your camera like you were strafe running in order to hit somebody.
Wow.
And Wild Coil, the weapon itself, how much damage it did, and with each change it would seemingly get a new color palette, which threw people off. It started off as like a orange and green, and then it changed like purple at one point. I think its current incarnation is closer to like a watermelon, like this weird, like gaudy neon green and like light pink or something.
Oh, delicious.
And it looks like a Jolly Rancher. But yeah, like even the Wild Coil sprite in the game had like 4 colors on it because, you know, it could handle it. Super Nintendo. But that creates a problem when, you know, trying to translate that back into an NES environment. So it was just playing around with different color palettes. Like Squirtle was the other one. It started off like really brightly colored, like this orange and yellow. And then, you know, that looked too similar to other flame-based weapons like Firestorm and Atomic Fire and everything. So right. I think currently it's red and black because that is actually the color Mega Man was in Mega Man 7 when he acquired the Scorch Wheel, and the sprites were changed to reflect that. Now they have like a red and white on the interior. White's kind of a cheat color because you can steal that off like Mega Man's eyes and, you know, claim it's like the same sprite layer. And then, like, the outlines of the flames are, like, gray, and you would think that, like, you know, bright red on gray, but it actually looks pretty all right, especially in-game, you know, when it's, like, rolling ahead at high speed. One more before... I'm sorry for just taking the whole block like this.
No, this is interesting. Continue.
No, yeah, this is real interesting.
One of the cool things for V4 when it came out, the Wily Tower update, the new Zandronum... had
that
just
was the
come out too.
And base update?
Yeah. And base and Wily Tower were the same package. Wily Tower was a complete surprise to everybody, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like immediately calling the trailer out on it because I'm like, oh, you have a silhouette show up and two health bars fills up for it. Literally one guy in the entire series has two health bars. Like, I immediately... because I'm a huge dork for Wily Tower. Like, nobody else likes Wily Tower like I do. Like, I remember at one point I was, like, trying to get, like, original weapons based on the Genesis unit in the game. Because I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. You have a Proto Buster and a Duo Fist upgrade. Duo is only playable in one of the arcade games, and you can use his fist. Like, it wouldn't be a stretch to add, like, a shield for Mega Water S or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one of the things for just proving a point, like, how seriously the team takes the whole sprite accuracy, one of the things was that items you could... they could read pointers and everything, which was like one of the things Samsara used. The item pickups would like look different based on who you were playing as.
Right.
So 8-bit deathmatch kind of nicked some of that. And up until that point, health pickups were yellow and black, and weapon energy pickups were dark blue and light blue, like Mega Man's colors. But when V4 came along, the weapon energy pickups would, just like in the NES games, if you're using a master weapon, the energy pickups would change colors to match your master weapon palette.
That's fucking cool.
That's real cool. That nice. Is very, very cool. All right, moving on from that. Next up, thankfully none of this news is as in-depth to discuss, but next up, the Sentinels Playground, an automated hosting service for Zandronum, has recently started forcing users to host Zandronum 3.0, the version in beta. This is probably likely to do with the fact that 2.1.2, the last Zandronum release, was almost 2 years ago. July 19th.
Holy cow.
Damn.
So, how many mods has this broken?
What hasn't it broken?
Oh,
I remember the first week, like... All of the support tickets sent in by Lego and Mike, all of them.
Oh, God.
Skins didn't work for like 3 days.
DM flags didn't work. Hell, even time limits didn't work. But, I mean...
they fucked up.
Despite everything, I mean, we mentioned last week that Graphazol's work ethic is probably the absolute best thing about him. The only person I can think of that surpasses him is Tor Samaho. Tor is the absolute consummate professional. I mean, he is the whole deal. I mean, he's polite, he's quick, he's smart, he gets things done, and more importantly, he has absolutely no care about any of the drama that goes on in anything. He just likes to make stuff. I can get behind that. All right, and then next up, we have a recent alpha release of ZDoom LE, a fork of the 2.8.1 maintenance branch for Windows 9X and older machines. It's, wow.
It runs Doom.
It runs Doom. With QZ Doom and GZ Doom merging into one source port, there's not really a whole lot of alternative source ports left. I mean, if you want to play the majority of mods now, it's GZ Doom or bust.
It's like Nerf. It's GZ Doom or nothing.
Yeah. And I'm always happy with these sort of alternative source ports, because more options for people, good. I mean, people shouldn't be forced to stick with one source port, especially if sometimes a source port causes issues for people.
Yeah.
Oh, shivers, yeah. Is that hitting close for you? Is that hitting close for you? Do you have a story you'd like to share with the audience?
I have a bug time. That no one knows how to fix, and it's the dumbest glitch ever. If a mod has... Well, it used to be that if a mod had a MIDI called D-Runnin' on Map01, GZ Doom would crash if I tried to start a new game with music on. However, playing the a mod with a different... if it had D-Runnin', the same MIDI, with a different name, it would run fine. Skipping Map 15 runs fine, even though they're pretty much the same MIDI, I think, except for being called D-Runnin' 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now things have gotten even stranger, where it will only crash if I'm using the base Doom 2 IWOD D-Runnin'. If I load a IWOD, or not an IWOD, a PWOD on top of it, it'll run fine. If I make a new WOD file with just D-Runnin' in it, it'll run fine. But if I run it straight, it'll crash.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the one time in which putting something auto-load in the skins folder would be allowed.
Yeah, that I'm literally considering that, because I may have to do that.
That's fucking weird.
It's real weird.
I have no idea what's causing it.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully it can get fixed. I mean,
hopefully. I would like to play new Doom mods. I mean, this is one of the main reasons Final Doomer is 2.8.1 compatible.
Mm-hmm.
I have to just think it's neat that there's still people maintaining these forks and things for just absolutely archaic operating systems.
Yeah,
that is good.
No matter what you run, it can run Doom. All right, jumping on from there, let's get into our little wind down session. Stuff we've been working on recently. And
oh no!
Actually, Keegan, I think Smash would be incredibly interested in the sort of stuff you've been working on recently. How about you kick us off?
Well, come to think of it, Smash, do you know what I'm currently working on right now? Like, I'm actually working on it right now as I'm talking to you guys. To clue Smash in real quick, I'm making a gameplay mod based off the NES Metroid.
Ooh.
Because I've had it on my mind so intensely I could not focus on Jimota. So I'm like, alright, fine, fuck it, we're doing this. So, you can see the webhams, I've put them here and there, like on my Tumblr. You have a rifle that's based off of Samus's arm cannon from one of the old manual art, so it's got that funky look to it. And you've got all the beams. You got the power beam, or you got the standard power beam, the long beam, wave beam, ice beam, missiles. But then I had to do a few ass pulls to fill out the arsenal more completely. So there's a missile upgrade, spazer, plasma, and some other goodies which I don't want to tell because they're surprises.
Spoilers.
I'm actually working on I don't want to give too many details, but I'm working on a secret item that you're going to be able to get.
Oh my god, he's working on the Maru Mari.
I already have the Maru Mari though, remember?
He doesn't.
Well, huh? Yeah.
He throws around a small, bouncing, curled up Doom guy that drops bombs.
I'm so tempted, and tell me, like, I guarantee you guys will probably tell me I should do this, but I'm so tempted to make it have a chance that when you throw that Doom guy, that there's just a chance that there's a very quiet, muffled as you throw it.
Good.
I'm going to do it then.
Yes, do it.
But,
oh my.
Yeah.
So this is the part where I kind of butt in with my Lenny face on, and I kind of go for, cause you're going to have one guy that asks this eventually. It's going to happen. What's the difference between this and Metroid Dreadnought?
Dreadnought's bad.
Dreadnought is not bad. You got your mouth term. This is, well, because it's based off the NES Metroid, the weapons behave a little bit more differently. Like, all of your beams are shit. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that because the plasma beam's a fucking a knockout. So actually, unless you have the plasma beam and a lot of ammunition, your main method of damage is going to be missiles. You're going to want to use missiles a lot. Because, I mean, like, with Metroid Dreadnought, almost all the beams are useful. Plus, there is no charging because it's the NES Metroid. You can't lay bombs, so instead you throw them like little bouncy grenades, which always causes monsters to flinch, which you can use, you know, to, you know, stun lock that pissed off Martian that's getting ready to set your ass on fire.
Okay.
Simpler graphics and effects. And like I said, just the weapons do feel dramatically different compared to Dreadnoughts, because a lot of Dreadnoughts, a lot of the beams have, like, you know, a lot of punch to them, but a lot of the beams in Space Hunter are, you know, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of want to use, like, your special weapons more to, like play a little more tactically, set yourself up so that you can go in and, you know, get a few good shots in with your beams.
You either play tactically or you carry a lot of ammunition, you just dump it all over everything. Because that's the other thing is, I've taken quite a few creative liberties. Like, with the ice beam, if you kill a monster with the ice beam, they shatter an ice shrapnel, which flies out and does damage to enemies, which in turn can also freeze enemies, which makes them explode into ice shrapnel, and you can see where this is going.
That's good.
That's really good, yeah. I showed it to these guys, and I was really pleased with it. If you kill a pain elemental with the ice beam, it falls to the ground and shatters, and the lost souls inside of it are frozen, which also fly out and shatter. So you instantly turn pain elementals into frozen clusterfuck grenades. It's awesome.
That sounds great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's been having a lot of fun with graphics.
Yeah. Well,
you got that morph ball yet?
Do what?
That morph ball.
Yeah, it's fixed now. It uses proper sprites.
Good. Good.
And I'll tell you what, after we finish this episode, I will show you something that I'm working on that I'm trying to, you know, kind of keep quiet, but I can show, like, you and these other guys this, but everybody else,
honestly,
you're going to have to wait.
It's probably be good to, like, just dump every single weapon you've gotten on them, because I know Smash is going to be super interested in that gameplay style and that art style.
Ooh, yeah.
I could do that.
Next up, Shivers, I hear you've been working on a little bit of something fancy.
Oh, I sure have. Final Doomer is kicked in for, I don't know, about 3 days. So we've been starting off on the JPCP weapons.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And we finally figured out what we're going to do for the shotguns, and it's going to be nice.
Mm. All right, cool.
Can you tell us anything about them?
There's going to be a sword.
Ooh.
I like swords. That's a personal weapon.
So that's it? It's got a sword? Yeah, okay. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
that's
sword.
That's good enough for me.
Fixed up the colors on some other stuff.
Did you fix up the colors on the sword?
Good old Slacks. Shout out to my main man, Slacks. Pumping out tons of really good demo videos. Mm-hmm. Good on him. And, before I forget, I better give a personal shout out to, the best YouTube commenter, Dober Narciss Florin, if that is his real name, who seems to be confused as he can only find the 1.2 version of Final Doomer, and he says, hey, look, I know it's not your mod, but you should be your friend. Be my friend and upload the link. And it's like, no. And then two other people just bombarded this guy from orbit with a whole bunch of, no, you're dumb, replies. And it's amazing. I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I do, I don't know, go into the ultra sprite mode and pump out all the sprites for this, you should be seeing Final Doomer within the year.
Cool.
And now that I've said that, it's never going to come out. Oh no, yeah. What have I done?
Shit.
Oh no. I can't believe it's on the same status as Laundry 3.
Yeah, the specter of Laundry 3 haunts me. I blame Voodoo.
You know, at this point, I'm tempted you should just, like, send it to Keegan and me and we'll finish it.
But you guys don't know what, like, all the problems and stuff that I don't know how to do.
No,
kind of.
No. I'll do the maps and Keegan can do the jump scares.
What jump scares?
The skeletons.
What idiot do you take me for? There's not going to be any jump scares in my damn mod. Don't you come into my house and start telling me, oh, I can work on your mod and just say, yeah, we'll put jump scares in it. No, you're banned.
But that's what Laundry 3 is about.
It's you pretty being bad?
I thought it was...
You do not understand the deep intricacies of Laundry lore and how important it is for this dumb joke mod to have consistency and stuff.
Okay, fine.
Next you'll say I can't put in a holographic plot point that explodes when you shoot it.
Shivers? Fine, I get it. I can do the maps.
What?
Keegan can do the kick scares.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe. But yeah, that's about it for me. Sword, shotgun, Final Doomer. It's good. Oh, wait. Before I forget, I was thinking of doing something on the Z-Doom RPG thread, so maybe keep an eye out for that if I ever figure that out. This will probably go nowhere, though. I don't know. We'll see.
Role-playing? That sounds like something for nerds. I say as I hastily shove all...
I mean, that's why I was going to get you to help me.
Yeah! I say as I hastily shove all of my Dungeons & Dragons source books all the way over to the other side of the room.
You say as D20s flood out of your pockets?
Like spaghetti?
Oh god, I rolled a natural 1 on charisma checks. I'm failing my persuade.
Spiders spill out of your pocket.
How about you, Smash? What sort of stuff have you been working on recently?
Oh god, is it my turn already?
Yes. Already? It's all been over 50 minutes.
Oh jeez. Alright, whatever. I'll talk about my little project or whatever. So this kind of started a while ago, actually. I want to like late last year around Christmas time, and to put it bluntly, I was sick of seeing the same thing in Doom Seeker over and over and over. For me, Mega Man 8-bit Deathmatch player, it is the predominantly 90% easily the class-based modification, which on paper sounds neat. Like, you know, there's classes for every single one of the Robot Masters in the series, so like, you know, you pick, you know, like Gutsman, you're slow, you have a lot of health, you pick up rocks whenever you want to and chuck them at people and do earthquakes and stun. It's great and it's fun, it's cool, right? But there's a couple problems, mainly the
what's to stop
balance.
People from picking the Robot Master with the strong weapon?
Yeah, the balance as of late has especially been highly questionable. And it's always the same ones too, and they say they change them and then it's not really fixed and there's still problem children. And it kind of, in my opinion, invalidates a large portion of the 8-bit deathmatch experience. You know, the core game itself is absolutely staggering. You know, nearly 200 deathmatch maps, and then you have 20 CTF maps. You can also play in team games that aren't, you know, capture the flag. You can play like Team LMS and stuff in them. And you have just scads and scads of map packs specifically for 8-bit deathmatch. I would say easily another 200 maps scattered across, you know, regularly updated and played map packs. And when you load classes alongside of it, it kind of, in a very crude way of phrasing, I guess, reduces them to very colorful play boxes, because there's no, the weapon pickups, there's, you know, 100 plus weapons in the game. You know, you have 10 different games being represented, 1 through 9, and then you have and base, you have some original content too with the Buster upgrades, Proto Buster, Base Buster, Duo Fist.
Mm-hmm. And all of that's just being thrown out the window.
Yeah, because you... class is self-contained. You know, you pick like you pick Fireman or Tengu Man, and you have like Tengu Man's attacks and his flight and his dash thing, and that's it. And even with the, they refer to them as copy weapon classes, the hero characters like Megaman and Protoman, even most of them you could reasonably play without picking up a single weapon because their innate abilities, especially Protoman in particular, he is Protobuster, Charge Shot, it fires, it, the projectile is extremely fast in a game with, you know, normally medium speed projectiles, and he also has a shield while he's not charging. He has a slide that lets him dash across the map quickly. You know, Protoman's good right out of the gate. So I just kind of got, I at one point, and LEGO 100% agrees with me, I say classes is the Brutal Doom of 8-bit deathmatch.
Ooh.
Really? It's that popular?
Everybody wants to play it. Everybody loads it with things that classes really should not be loaded with, and the opinions of it are completely polarized in both directions. And yeah, it's classes.
So your idea was sort of a way to sort of take the problems of classes and put them under your own spin on them?
Yeah. Yeah, because like the main thing was that the classes were entirely self-contained, and conversely, there was no room for the classes to grow because they couldn't pick up weapons and use them, and even the ones that could, it was almost like, why would I? So, sorry for getting off topic again. I have a bad habit of doing that.
I can't believe you're getting off topic of what are you making.
I know, right? It's called Gundroids. That's my thing I've been doing for the past couple months or so. And Gundroids, eventually we want to make it a total conversion. We already have hooks for it in even the very, very placeholder-filled beta PK3 we've been working with, but there's already hooks in it. It runs in Doom. I actually played through a couple campaign missions with the shotgun to see test with the weapon values, but basically Gundroids is meant to be a character-rich, class-based thing where, you know, you pick your favorite of several cute robot girls and a couple of cute robot boys, too.
So it's Robot Overwatch.
I was going to make that joke.
No.
It's Robo-Watch.
Overwatch. Overwatch is also self-contained. You know, you pick Soldier 76 and you have his rifle, his sprint, his heal thingy, and, you know, that's kind of it. But with Gundroids, like the main character, Suika, she starts with a... She has like a heavy attack, and she has like a pistol handgun and a simple double jump. But the main gimmick in Gundroids is that every character can use every gun. So you start off with the pistol and everything, and across the map you see a shiny new assault rifle. So you throw away your pistol, you grab the assault rifle, you start rocking out with that and everything. And then some guy is starting to just waltz through with his rocket launcher and everything, and you're like, well, that's rude. I want the rocket launcher. So you kill him, they drop the rocket launcher, you pick it up, now you have the big boy gun. But, you know, you're running low on ammo and everything. Maybe you want to switch back to the pistol. The whole thing is kind of designed around, like, being able to switch weapons quickly and conveniently. You can only ever hold one weapon at any given time. You actually completely ignore weapon pickups while you're holding another one, so you can't just, like, deny somebody for free.
The stats and abilities of a character shooter with the weapon balance and handling of a traditional shooter.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's interesting. So they're more loadouts than classes then.
Yeah, like you would still pick a class. You might pick a class that you don't particularly like their weapon. You know, you grab like Tureen and you're like, I don't like how the rocket launcher chews through ammo. This thing sucks. But you pick her anyway because she's got like above average health and she can, her ability, you literally punch the shit out of people.
Nice.
So you might pick her for that and, you know, just dump your weapon immediately and go grab one that you're more comfortable with. Or conversely, you might pick a character whose stats you're maybe not so fond of because their signature weapon might be your favorite and you're really good with that gun. And also kind of leading into that, guns have different levels. You can't level them up on your own. They're on the map that way. So like everybody starts off with their signature weapon at level one, but you might find like rifle level two that spawns in the middle of the map and everybody wants to fight for it because they want that stronger rifle. Higher levels, they tend to, you know, have maybe faster firing rate, maybe the projectile moves faster, farther, because there are range limits on all of the weapons, and this was entirely intentional. This was a thing with Mega Man 8-Bit Deathmatch. The entire game is all projectiles, which is something that really separates it from, like, you know, pretty much every Doom mod out there is, you know, largely reliant on hit scan for the most part. But the projectile speed is something to be desired, I guess. The projectile speed in comparison to player movement speed and maneuverability in 8-bit deathmatch, it creates this problem where not very many weapons are fast so that you can very easily pin down somebody. So you have to do a lot of like shot leading and pursuing, and that combined with the fact that damage output is also usually on the lower side, it creates a twofold problem where one, especially in low player environments like Last Man Standing or Duel, running away is arguably the strongest option in the game when you're at a disadvantage, especially when you factor in SR50. You can just run away and the opponent can't really do much about it, and you can just leave and heal up and get your ammo back and then come back when you're well prepared. And then the other problem of, you know, infinite pressure, if you're you and the opponent are across each other in like a very large map at opposite ends, you can just kind of keep throwing mega buster shots at them, or even worse. And the entire reason infinite pressure is a phrase that's used fairly commonly, base buster also has no ammo requirement and shoots incredibly fast and has a
the auto fire.
Yes. And you can just kind of Gatling gun at somebody, and even though each shot only does 6 damage, you know, that's basically a free 6 damage while you try to force somebody to kind of try to approach you under continuous free fire. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, not really anything they can do about it. So with gun droids, I feel like Unreal Tournament is something I was playing through a lot. Unreal 04, me being a Nintendo fan, Splatoon was also a big inspiration as far as like weapon strength and everything. So projectiles are really fast and they do a lot of damage, but they have very visible range limits. So you can't just cross map somebody for free because you feel like it. There is a lot of emphasis on getting close, pursuing your opponents, trying to, you know, put them in disadvantageous positioning so that you can corner them and land those critical few shots and get the kill. Just one other thing real quick about the whole design of it, which is something we put in since the very beginning, since the first beta, the concept of recovery, because this is something that personally gets under my skin in Last Man Standing, Team Last Man Standing. You know, you could spawn in the round and you get your weapons and everything and you are doing great. You're killing dudes left and right. You got like 5-6 frags, you know, you're rubbing yourself down, you're feeling good. And then some nerd just hits you with like a sniper rifle or an 8-bit deathmatch. We have homing weapons. They just peg you with a magnet missile in your butt cheeks and now you're dead. And you don't have anything to show for it, despite clearing half the room. And that's aggravating. That's annoying to me. You know, the strongest tactic should not be just, you know, twiddling your thumbs in a corner waiting for the server to clear itself out a little bit before you start going out and pulling your own weight. So for gun droids, the concept is there's very few. Originally was no health pickups at all. Not a single health pickup. But now, like, you know, we've kind of argued, you know, maybe health pickups, you know, create tension in certain zones, you know, areas to fight over, to try to get control. They might be healthy.
Yeah, so. I'd say also that having health pickups is good because it means that players with low health still have a fighting chance, because, I mean, you don't want to be running around with, I don't know, 3 HP while there are people who have, like, 300.
Yeah, this gets to the whole last man standing thing, because at least in our last man standing, there's no pickups on the map at all, so there's no way to regenerate health in that mode. But the no health pickups would be in like every mode, like deathmatch, capture the flag, everything. Instead of health pickups, there is a resource recovery, which is often shorted to RCV, and you gain this resource by damaging other players. It's kind of like ghetto vampirism. Like, if you...
But with robots. Like,
if you deal, like, 20 damage to somebody with a pistol shot, you'll get 5 recovery back. And this isn't converted to health instantly. It's stored in, like, a bank. And recovery is converted to health over time, kind of like the regenerating shield in Halo. Like, it fills up. But, you know, if it doesn't fill up all the way and you get shot, it gets interrupted, you have like half a shield. It didn't fill up all the way. Same thing with recovery. We call it injured state. If you've taken damage in the last few seconds, you cannot heal from recovery, but you still get it from damaging things. So like if you're in combat, you know, you might want to like turn around and kill the nerd who's pestering you. You know, you get the frag, which is good. It helps you win in deathmatch or last man standing, or in a like an objective based mode like capture the flag or whatever. It, you know, removes them from the game a bit, bumps them back to their spawn, which helps your team advance. So getting the frag is good, but you also, because you damage them, you get RCV and you're able to recuperate your health back. And a particularly skilled player in a last man standing environment who defeats multiple enemies will be able to come out better than they did before, because not only will they be able to heal back up to full, they might have RCV left over in their bank. So they effectively have more than max health and they're ready for the next engagement already. So there's a justification for people to take initiative, to take the first shot and, you know, not just be a wimp and hide.
Because that's the one thing that's going to really mess up any last man standing server. It's people that don't want to fight.
Yeah. I don't know.
So what have you been actually working on for it?
basically just core systems for now. Mm-hmm. We've gotten recovery working, air actions. I guess a lot of influence was taken from Custom Robo with like the...
Nice.
Because each Robo itself has like its own attack defense values and like how it double jumps in the air. Some people don't have a double jump. They just glide around a little bit or they turn invisible. But each Robo, you know, can use any gun, bomb pod, whatever. Kind of the same thing with gun droids. Like you start off with a gun, but you can switch it out to pick up whatever else. But we got air actions working. It was funny the first time because Suika's double jump was overtuned to the point where if you did it at a certain angle, you could actually like clip into the ceilings a little bit with it. But yeah, double jumps and everything, the recovery values, the weapon system, only being able to pick up one thing at a time, ignoring weapon pickups if you have a weapon. What else was it? Right now, it's just basically like cosmetic stuff, because a lot of this stuff is placeholder. Just putting in better sprites. Like, the weapon pickups are literally circles with little dots and lines and MS Paint scribbled into the center of them. So,
yeah, programmer art is best art.
So, what I'm wondering is, if you can only carry one weapon, if your weapon runs out of ammo, what do? At that point, you can't defend yourself and you have to run to get another weapon?
Two things. One, you get ammo over time, even while firing.
Okay.
So you just take a break for a couple seconds and refill part of the battery. And the other thing, which is the other justification to switching out weapons, you know, aside from, you know, you get your favorite weapon at level two. Why would I ever switch off of it, right? Mm-hmm. If you recycle a weapon, you instantly gain half your max ammo back.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
So you destroy your weapon, you have your shitty little level zero attack, because you do have an unarmed. It sucks, intentionally sucks, but you have something, so you're not just, you know, a sitting duck. But you get your, like, crappy little unarmed or whatever, but you instantly get a whole bunch of ammo back, so you can pick up another weapon and immediately start firing with that.
Yeah, I can roll with that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it could be interesting. So, when are you looking for a release?
Depends on what you mean by a release. Nah, because, like, at the end of the day, the big thing for gun droids is to be a total conversion, like, the whole nine yards, like, its own maps, its own music, like, it can run standalone, similar to 8-bit deathmatch. For now, it kind of piggybacks off of things. You can run it in Doom, you can run it in 8-bit deathmatch, it plays fine with both. It actually has, like, it will replace Doom weapons with the gun droids weapons. You can, like, run through single player or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that part, probably what I would consider a first release, I don't know, like June, I guess. And by first release, I mean there would be a handful of classes, so it's not just all Suica. You'd have four or five droids to pick from, and roughly an equal amount of weapons, maybe a few more that are map exclusive or whatever, because I don't have droids in yet for them. But, you know, a handful of classes, complete sprites for all of them, no placeholders, HUD's done. I would estimate that around, like, June, maybe July if I'm a bum. But as far as, like, a full release, I don't know, that probably would take, like, a year, 2 years or something. Like, mm-hmm. we have it all drafted out in steps, too, because we have, like, plans for days, but it's just like, you know, one step at a time, do this first, and something can exist.
So, I'm looking forward to it. Sounds like it'd be super fun.
Alright, thanks.
I guess that's on to you now, Term. What have you been working on?
Oh. Well, I mean, I've been continuing on with my Z-Script experiment mod, but, recently, there was a feature suggestion in the ZDoom forums in order to add IWAD support to GZDoom for Nocturne and Yellow.
What?
Hmm.
How does that work?
That's something that's kind of interesting to me, because A, Nocturne and Yellow is actually a PK3, and B, Nocturne and Yellow, I mean, it was a novelty made for a contest. I mean, even when I released it, the post-mortem, I was going, But, I mean, some folks genuinely like it, which surprised me. I mean, surprised me then, still surprises me now, but if folks genuinely like it, and they want IWAD support for it, I mean, logically, yeah. Just be a matter of converting it into an IWAD and getting it compatible with the current version of GZDoom. Graf made kind of a fuss about how absolutely broken and glitched it is in the current version of GZDoom, and when I asked, well, what's actually broke about it? He said, there's something wrong with the menu. Oh, well.
Thank you for that detailed bug report, like you're always telling people to give.
Well, it's not really that big of an issue. In his defense, yeah, it's pretty broken, because one of the things about Nocturne Yellow is that I actually removed saving from a menu. The save function is actually still in, but saving is removed from the menu, so if you use the hotkeys in order to manually access the menu, there's no graphics, so it crashes.
Cool.
Yeah. In dev builds, it actually just displays missing graphics and spams the console with constant messages, which is just as interesting, really. But, theoretically, it should be a relatively straightforward conversion. I mean, mostly a matter of adding in some graphics that are missing, polishing up a little bit of more broken and questionable stuff, maybe add in a couple features that people wanted, like boss health bars and stuff like that, and, yeah, push it out as an IWOD, and GZ Doom will have another IWOD.
Cool.
Hopefully, it's not that much of an issue, and I probably will not be formally tackling it until my ZScript experiment is done, because, you know, hey, one thing at a time. If I start taking on, like, 50 things at once, I'm probably gonna break down.
Yeah.
But, hey, I've prodded at it. Doesn't seem too unfeasible. Doesn't seem like it'd be too much work to change. I did a couple tweaks, and luck willing, it should be a reality soon.
Oh, that sounds fun, yeah. Something to look forward to.
Still be amazed if anyone actually plays the damn thing.
Oh, man, that's like what I feel when people ask me about, like, oh, hey, how about that Nidoforce?
Nidoforce was genuinely good.
Yeah, Nidoforce is a good time.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Nidoforce is that the execution was clunky, but the things it's done is genuinely interesting even now. The third-person camera and the movement system and the platforming, that is shocking for its time.
In a largely first-person engine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nocturne in Yellow, it's a bad Heretic ripoff. I said it then, and I'm saying it now. So, yeah, if anything, I think Nidoforce would do better as an IWOD rather than Nocturne in Yellow. Actually, I think both would be good. I mean, yeah. More games for people to play. I mean, heck, Delaware is available as an IWOD for GZ Doom, and Delaware is literally just one level in 3D models.
Huh.
But, hey, we'll see how it
goes.
There's
an audience for it, I guess.
Yeah, if there's an audience for it, might as well give them the ability to play it. And then from there, straight into the what we've been playing section. Who wants to draw straws and go first?
I'll go first, because then I can completely be a 180 from Kinsey from last week.
So you've been playing Wolf and Doom 2, huh?
Oh, well, I can complain about that too. Good. That means two games I can complain about.
oh man!
I actually haven't played Blade of Agony in a while, but I played through the first episode recently, and I'm not sure if I talked about it on a podcast yet.
Yeah, you have.
But I have. Okay, then I'll skip over that. I need to play episode two. But yeah, it seems like a lot of kids' complaints outside of the stealth stuff. I mean, that's for one. That's Tormentor in a nutshell. And for two, it's actually pretty dang faithful to the original Wolf and Doom, warts and all. But actually, I've been playing a mod called Aetherius, and I've been really enjoying it. It's nice to have a RPG mod that's accessible. I mean, I don't know. It might be just me. I hate having to open up a menu every level and scroll through all these options and chuck stats and points and stuff. It's nice to just have your character get better on their own, you know?
Yeah.
The whole blend, I've been playing as the marine chick who can use magic and stuff, and that's cool. I like all the little sort of the little gimmick stuff, abilities, whatever you call them, how you can charge up your character or psych up, which boosts your mana regeneration or whatever, that sort of thing. That's neat. And I also like how, conservative the guy was with adding new weapons for the Marines. Like, nothing seems too out of place, and everything seems to fit pretty well. So yeah, it's nice. I mean, even the new randomized entities aren't that much of a problem. It's a good time. That's why I'm making sprites for it. Also, I've been playing a bit of Lithium by Marub. And it's neat. I like it. Took a bit of getting used to that upgrade system, but yeah, the weapons are really nice. I like how most of them have unlimited ammo and are balanced around that. And I guess the only complaint about it is how the result screen starts on the very beginning of like that level after you leave. So you'll start a new map and a whole bunch of statistics will fill your screen up. But oh well, it's neat how you can disable stuff too. Like you can turn the HUD off or you can download actual like impediments to your progress. It's great.
You can turn the HUD off?
You can actually install a 4chan shitposting mode and you just get a bunch of
greets
flying around.
Implying.
Clip.
I think Lithium, it's probably the greatest Doom menu in existence.
It's also got really nice HUD stuff, like the
It's also low got a
lines,
gameplay mod attached to
stuff.
It.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
There's a shitload of technology there.
Oh, yeah. It's programmed in C, too. I mean, it's not ACS or Decorate. It's pretty much C.
It's C?
Marib's a fucking madman.
ZDoom supports C? Yeah. Wow.
Technically, I mean, it's filtered through GDCC, which is a compiler that converts C to ACS so that Doom can read it. Well, I mean, converts Doom to ACS. I don't know. I'm not a program magician. Point being, yeah, it's C.
Some crazy shit, let me tell you.
Keegan, Smash, which of you do you want to go at length about next?
You go first, Smash.
Sure, why not? I don't know. I don't really get out of my comfort zone a lot, really. Most of the time when I boot up Doomseeker or whatever, it's usually a 9 out of 10. It'll be either 8-bit Deathmatch, SOMS, or RGA. Recently, I thumbed through Demon Steel again. We're working on gun droids and talking about one of the weapon, one of the characters, their special skill would just be like an alternate attack where they shoot a laser beam out. And Lego immediately goes, oh yeah, you mean like the Iron Maiden, from Demon Steel. And I'm like, nah, that's
a little overkill.
You know, just a little too big, you know, just to,
the not Kamehameha from Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Just maybe a little bit smaller, you know, like 5%, you know, just
just a touch.
And that eventually devolved into us spending about roughly an hour just reading off fortune cookie messages from But I did
go forgot through. About those. Holy shit.
I love those fortune cookies.
Ironic shitposting is still shitposting.
It's true, though.
No, Caleb will not be added to Samsara.
In the time it has taken for Space Pirate to get an update.
That one, yes!
Oh man, that's especially rude now because, I mean, Demon Steel suffered developmental difficulties since then. I mean, the artist has left the project and the engine glitching out over special moves has really thrown a wrench into things, and Space Pirate still has not had an update.
When was Demon Steel's last update then?
I think almost exactly a year ago. Yeah, I have been wrestling with the engine for over a year.
Wow, that's impressive. I think both is like, I don't know, just your continuous resolve to fix it and also the engine's continuous annoyance and stubbornness to not be fixed.
Yeah. At this point, I mean, at some point, I just decided, okay, I'm just going to wait until Xeandronum 3.0 comes out. And then, guess how long that took?
Oh, it's still... Dude, that's one of the jokes for like our group and everything. It's just like I think at one point Cutman Mike was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'll just put out the teaser for 5V and not put a release date on the trailer, because he had the trailer done for like nearly a month, but was holding it off because he didn't have a release date, because the release date basically boiled down to when Zandronum 3.0.
And how long ago was that? let's make things better and not dig up specific dates.
Yeah, but I mean, just going through Demon Still again with the focus on like chaining and points. That's such like an old thing that like I guess like Demon Still managed to do something right, because it made me want to like hurriedly scramble running around with my eggs in a basket, like, oh, let me throw myself face first into this revenant, I need points. Like getting that combo meter full and everything, and the health system especially, like how you have the point based health, and how if you like run really quickly across like hazardous floors and you jump a lot, like you won't take damage.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, because that's something like that annoys me in like classic Doom a little bit, I guess, when you're, you know, in like the mutation or whatever, like you have to get through it because that's where the rest of the level is or the key you need or whatever. And, you know, you just, you know, just seeing that number dip down from your perfect 200, you know, Oi. But yeah, I don't know. I like Demon Steel. I think it's cute. I don't know. That's the end of that thought.
Much appreciated. And you, Keegan?
I haven't been playing much lately. I've just been working on Space Hunter. Honestly. I haven't been playing any... I haven't been playing shit as of late. I've just been working on Space Hunter.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten into, you know, the zone, because it's a bunch of shit that I've got to, you know, a bunch of little detailed bullshit I got to finish up. Though, I will say this, Smash, seeing as you hate hurt floors and shit, you're going to like something I did in Space Hunter. As long as you have 1 point of armor, you're immune to hurt floors.
Nice.
Because it's Varia. It's a Varia suit. You mm-hmm. know, as long as you have 1 point armor.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, I can't... I don't have much else to give to this particular topic.
Well, that's good. That's fine. That's fine, dude. As long as you're still working on stuff, that's good. Stuff I've been playing recently is a gameplay mod called Hearts of Demons Barons, which is a gameplay mod that focused around playing as a Baron of Hell. Ancient one that has been sealed up and asleep for quite some time, but then was recently released, because the spider demons and the icons of sin have kind of messed stuff up, so now you're going around laying down the law among the hordes of hell. Now, being able to play as a demon is something that a lot of modders have tried to do and a lot of players have wanted to do. I mean, there's just something really fun about playing as the bad guys. Empathy, Doom Rampage, Eternal Conflict. When a lot of people make Doom OCs, they tend to make them as demons, too, for some reason.
I mean, it helps that there's a lot more of those, and, you know, like, there's Doom Guy, I guess, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to have a character, like, blend in if they're, you know, just, like, one of many of, like, the troops or whatever, instead of, you know, trying to be another main character. It might come off as, like, a little Mary Sue-ish or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. The weapon set... completely and entirely overpowered. I mean, you start with 1,000 HP. Your weapons obliterate enemies and hordes. I mean, it's for playing on slaughter maps or just complete power fantasy. Weapons overall, it's a general combination of tech stuff and Baron magic, alternating between over-the-top guns and fiery spells. Weakest part, definitely the graphics. I mean, the animation's kind of weird. The graphics mix up model rips and sprites. The M61 Vulcan in particular, it's a hilarious model rip. I think it's the Gatling gun by Little White Mouse. Generally, I mean, it's hard to make convincing demon weapon set, since graphics are the hardest part. Taking the guns we've already seen done, and the Doom community has put out a whole lot of guns. I mean, we don't really have a whole lot of magic spells out there.
Yeah.
Most of that stuff is for Heretic, and nearly every single Heretic weapon set or total conversion has used them. But, I mean, it's still fun to be a sort of giant, flesh-stompy creature. I mean, setting things on fire, and then just wading through hordes of bullets and rockets, and just being a big boss. It's really, really fun just stomping through everything, clearing out hordes in a single blast, and just kicking ass. It's really fun. It's kind of like being in command of a giant mech, except fleshy.
That's an interesting analogy, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I'm actually not that familiar with there's any been giant fleshy battle mechs, but...
Alright, cool.
Wow, we are getting way, way late into the night, and looks like everyone's tiring out.
I don't know, I just...
We'd be going for like 2 hours almost.
I don't want to steer away the conversation for half an hour again.
Half an hour? Yeah, we've been going on for, almost 2 hours. I am going to have one hell of a time editing this wonderful little session. But, yeah, I think we are going to call it here then, probably.
Alright, cool.
Thank you all very much for coming along.
Thanks for thinking I was good enough to be had.
Thank you for picking a night to record on that I could actually turn up for.
Yay. Gigan, it was wonderful to have you along as well.
As always.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice night, everybody. Thanks for listening in, and we will see you all next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, mates.
It's over!